Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Inspiration here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, it may be inspiration and it may not.
Okay.
But it's a little commentary, I guess, and I don't know who sent this to us, but it's from, right away, you know, it's interesting because it's from the Journal of Radical Mediocrity. Right away, you know that something's going.
Wait,
no,
right. There are wackos involved.
There are wackos involved. Who are the unmotivated? Are they losers who just don't get it, who refuse to hold a job or join the human rat race? The unmotivated are, in fact, people who do get it, who know it's all a scam, who refuse to be led by corporate and religious wranglers to the slaughter.
Wow.
Huh? It takes great will and integrity to remain unmotivated in the face of society's constant motivational assault. Work hard, follow the rules, and fulfill your potential to keep up with the Joneses. Wow.
Wow.
The haves promote delayed gratification to the have-nots.
Oh, this is profound stuff, man.
I told you, this is more than inspiration. You'll go to heaven when you die. In the meantime,
you gotta work your butt off.
You'll be able to do everything you always wanted to do when you retire.
Right. And in the meantime, you've got to what?
Work your butt off. There is no greater struggle for the human race than to remain unmotivated. Only through lack of motivation can we crush this evil scheme to chain us to our jobs and our mortgages. Wow. Freedom. Yeah. Is only one unproductive day away.
This is profound stuff, man. Slackers of the world unite.
Exactly. I knew that you would love it.
I do. They have a website?
It reminded
me. No, of course not. They haven't been motivated
enough.
They're
not motivated enough to have a website. It reminded me of H.L. Mencken's great quote, "Only the mediocre can always be at their best."
There you go. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else you'd like answered in a mediocre fashion, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're
we'll
on
get
car
a lot
talk
of nasty mail on this.
Hello?
This is deep stuff. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Daniel from Manitou Springs, Colorado, originally from Harvard, Massachusetts.
Daniel, have you been inspired?
Dude, I'm a poster boy for these guys.
You are, eh?
Oh, you are. You're totally unmotivated.
I'm not totally, but I'm sure that my father's thinking that there's no coincidence that I'm talking to you on this show.
And you were an art history major in what university?
Political science at University of New Hampshire.
Political science, that's same thing, only different.
Yeah, exactly. But most of my brothers are the same. We have got a whole family of these guys.
What's the nature of your call?
So I've got a 1989 Honda Prelude 2.0 SI with an automatic transmission, and this is the car my fiancé drives.
Automatic transmission?
I was living in L.A. at the time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You get that now?
Yeah, stuck in traffic all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right.
Wanted to save my knees. So I, my fiancé comes home the other day, and she says, you know, there's something wrong with the car. The speedometer doesn't work. The check engine light is on. The S3 indicator, which is that sports transmission indicator on the dashboard,
yeah,
is blinking. I laughed and took it for a drive, and it's running fine.
And what light was on again? The
speedo's not working. The check engine light is on, and there's a little light that tells you when you switch from regular shifting pattern to the sports shifting.
Exactly. And that one is blinking, S3.
It's blinking.
Blinking.
Right. You're in sport mode.
Exactly. But I'm not in sport mode. I'm in regular drive, but the S3 light is blinking.
Well, no, this shouldn't blink. This vehicle has a computer that shifts the transmission.
Right.
And I don't think you really want to know what it costs, but it could be cooked.
Uh-oh.
And that's the reason that the check engine light is on. There's nothing wrong with the engine, per se.
Right.
But there's something wrong with
the computer.
With the engine management system, and the transmission is part of that.
Okay.
So if, for example, it's stuck in the sport mode and won't allow you to go into the other mode, it could indicate that there's either some mechanical problem with the transmission or there's something wrong with the computer. And I'm going to guess it's in the computer.
Well, wouldn't it be nice, though, if it were just a speed sensor?
It
wouldn't that be good? Because if that would explain it, too, because now the computer's not getting a signal from the speed sensor. It doesn't know what to do about shifting.
Right.
That would explain the speedometer not operating.
It would explain maybe the light flashing and the check engine light being on.
Yeah.
So it could be something.
It's shifting fine. I put it in drive. I throw it in the. I can shift it around no problem through the, you know, the sport shift, but that stuff's going on.
But are you sure it's shifting through all the gears?
Yeah.
It is shifting.
You know what, actually? When I took it out, I had it in sport, and it revved really high.
Mm.
It got up to about 6.5 before it decided to pop down.
Jeez, uh-huh. I hate to say this, but there's an outside chance here that my brother's right.
Uh-oh.
That the vehicle speed sensor is the culprit. And it's maybe in what's called limp home mode. No, in other words, if in the absence of the computer telling the transmission when to shift, it has programmed into it preset shift points.
Right.
And it may be doing that.
Uh-oh.
It may be doing that now. But so it could be, this vehicle speed sensor is cheap. The computer.
Okay. This is not bad news.
Yeah, okay. The computer, if you need that, is many, many hundreds.
All right.
But you need to go and have somebody hook the machine up to it.
Yeah, but, I mean, if everything runs...
Yeah, it does.
You could just forget about
it. Yeah, and don't forget, you're a slacker, so you don't have to do anything.
That's a good point.
I wouldn't fix it. See you, Daniel.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks for your call. Good luck. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Liz from Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, Liz.
How are
you?
Great.
Yeah, that good.
Columbia Mall.
Columbia, Missouri.
That is correct.
Yeah, so what's up, Liz?
Okay, this is my problem.
Yeah.
My husband finishes up his residency here in Missouri at the end of June.
Oh.
And he is interested in a Porsche. And he's looking at used Porsches.
Wait a minute, he's just finishing his residency and he's got enough money for a Porsche already?
A used Porsche, yes.
Wow.
This is my question. He's looked at a 928. It's only got 38,000 miles on it. My question is this. That the car's never been driven when it rains, and it's only driven on weekends. Now, my husband is not good with cars. Now, this car is a Porsche. I know it's got to be serviced anytime they putter something. My question is this. What is this going to run me to keep this car running?
Well, first of all, the question is this an appropriate vehicle for a doctor? And it depends on what his specialty is. I mean, is he a real doctor that has to make emergency calls, or is he like a wuss, like a dermatologist?
He's a cardiothoracic surgeon, so he operates on hearts and lungs.
Oh, he's going to have to get there in
no time flat.
Well, that's why he wants the Porsche, because the Porsche, you turn the key and you're right there.
He wants the Porsche so he looks good in it. He could get a car that drives fast, but...
He wants to... How old is your husband?
He is 34.
34? Wow. What do they want for this 928, do you know?
My guess, I think, is around $14,500.
Cheaper enough. Oh, wow.
Now, how much is the upkeep actually going to be?
It's going to be brutal.
I'm the money person, so that's why he's got to get push it through me before he...
Well, I mean, he's saving people's lives with his thoracics. So, I mean, the least you can do is write a couple of checks once in a while. Liz.
Well, yeah, but he has two kids and a wife to support.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you too.
He's going to have to do a lot of unnecessary surgery. Well, I know it's just a pimple, but if you don't take care of these things early, anything could happen.
Exactly.
We're going to have to take your heart out. You won't mind,
send it
out
for a rebuild. Oh, God.
I mean, repairs are extraordinarily expensive.
Soon, Liz. I mean, the dough's going to just be rolling
it's
in.
It's not going to matter.
Let's put it this way. He's 34 getting his first job, so you can imagine the amount of debt.
But you're the money person. He's been consumed by his studies and whatever for the last 25 years.
20,000 years, yeah.
20,000 years.
And you've been forced to take over all the household responsibilities, including paying the bills. And I'm sure you've done a very good job of it.
Yes.
But it's time to let go.
Really?
I think so.
What are you suggesting here?
Let him do whatever he wants.
But what's going to be my monthly cost at Hans, the dealer?
Well, it depends on what kind of shape it's in.
Uh-huh.
And... Hopefully,
it almost makes no difference what kind of shape it's in. I think it's going to be on the order of $200 a month.
Okay.
I was going to say five.
All right, five.
Okay. Okay, let's go with the higher number.
No, let's split the difference.
Okay, four.
350.
350. Okay. That's nothing.
But see, you guys don't understand. He bought a vehicle once when I was out of town, and it was a total lemon. And I'll never let him live that
oh,
down.
Oh, you can't trust him, in other words.
No.
So this guy is taking people's hearts out of their chests. He's breaking through a person's rib cage with a chainsaw.
He's good at that.
Pulling out the guy's heart and holding it in his hands.
Exactly.
And you don't trust him to buy a car.
That is correct.
And so how many of us are going to trust him to take our hearts out of our chests?
Well, no, he's very good at that. I just don't trust him with money.
No, he's just too focused on what he does.
Thank
and that's good.
God for that.
You want those
you
guys
want him
to be
yeah, focused. You don't want him to be angry or depressed.
Or deprived.
Or deprived in any
I mean,
way.
Liz will be doing a disservice to his patients if you don't just write the check for the Porsche and shut up.
You guys are
going
to side with him.
And good luck, Liz. I'm happy to know that you will come out of this deep depression having to do with money and forget about all you owe.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they've probably written it all off anyway.
Yeah, don't worry
And they're
about
not going to take back his medical degree just because he doesn't pay his bills.
Oh, I don't know about that.
They won't. They can't. Won't.
You can always go to Uruguay.
Great. Then you can tell me how to fix a Uruguay pickup.
Yes. Call us when you get there.
Uruguayan pickup.
See you, Liz.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. 14.5 is peanuts.
It is. But it's the repair bills that are going to kill
us. Oh, man.
Yeah, little do they know.
Little do they know.
Oh, that's all right, but it'll be fun. And like I said, pretty soon the dough is going to start. They will be amazed. When
yeah.
it doesn't. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nick in Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Florida?
Yep.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
What happens in Jupiter, Florida? I mean, I thought it was just retired people.
Well, no, actually the average age in this part of the county is 44, so we're not retired yet. We're all working hard.
44?
Yep.
That's the average age.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, but they are got a gray hair. There's a lot of gray hair around here.
Yeah.
What do you do in Jupiter?
We have a practice management company. We manage the doctor's practices.
Yeah. The God knows they need it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them, too.
So what's shaking, Nick?
Well, we have a Montero LS. It's a four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it. Our courier uses it. And we go all the way from, like, Miami to Melbourne and as far west as the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So we put about 950 miles a week on it. But we've had this problem is that it drinks oil. But now it doesn't smoke.
Mm.
And he'll come and he'll tell me that, you know, well, I had to put 3 quarts in it today. And, okay, and then the next week will go by and I'll put another quart in.
On average, how many quarts a week?
Three.
And that's over 1,000 miles.
1,000 miles, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but a guy took it to this gas station, and, you know, we've taken it there, and they've looked underneath. There's no leaks. I mean, if I park it, when you drive away, there's no leaks there. One guy, though, put his hand in the tailpipe and came up with oil, and he said, I was blowing oil out of the tailpipe.
I'll bet you are.
How do you do that? I mean, without it smoking or nothing.
Well, it is smoking, but it's smoking so little that you can't see it. Unless you get to a point where you're consuming a quart every 50 or 100 miles,
uh-huh.
It's almost unnoticeable.
Oh.
One test to find out if you're burning oil, which undoubtedly you are, because you're what? Not leaking it and no one's stealing it. But if you want to satisfy your curiosity,
uh-huh.
Park the thing in a garage,
all right.
An enclosed garage, and don't open the door when you start it in the morning. Just for a few seconds, and you will notice that in that time,
uh-huh.
The garage has filled up with blue-tinted smoke, and that's the oil. I don't think there's much you can do about this, because it's probably worn rings.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That sounds expensive.
It is expensive. But
yeah, it's not, because you're not going to do anything.
No? Well, good.
Do you have one of those Dymo, what do they call those, label makers?
Yeah.
You have one?
Yeah.
Make a label that says, check oil every day, and affix it to the dashboard, right where the gear shift lever
is. Yeah,
make
five or six of them, actually. Put them everywhere. Shift lever,
see what happens
windshield.
If the thing holds 5 quarts of oil, once you burn the first, let's say it takes you 600 miles to burn the first quart.
Uh-huh.
The next, you have now 4 remaining quarts trying to do the work of 5. You'll burn the next quart in 400 miles. You'll burn the next quart in 100 miles.
Oh.
And then you'll burn the next quart on your way to the junkyard because you'll have ruined the engine. So the oil burns at an accelerated rate once it gets low. So
the less of it there is.
So if you keep an eye on it and add a quart whenever it needs it,
you might
be able to get away with burning a quart every 500 or 600 miles instead of three quarts every, 1,800 miles or whatever.
Okay.
So you got to, when it needs a quart, you've got to add it.
Buy it by the case, put it in the back, you got plenty of room.
And maybe one of these doctors you consult for can set you up with some kind of intravenous feeder. something they've discarded.
I could just see it going down the road now with this oil IV.
Actually, it would be a great advertisement, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It says practice management on the side and an intravenous bottle hanging there.
From the antenna.
From the antenna, exactly.
Fed
this is a great idea.
What a marketing idea.
Nick, we've hit upon it.
You could have made our day here.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. I love it.
All right, I think it's time to go back and answer last week's puzzler.
Well, I do remember that we had a puzzler last week.
That's good. Do you remember what it was about?
You should have quit while you were ahead.
Well, look, I'll tell you. It was about a secret code.
Ah, secret code. I remember the world of undercover operatives. Espionage. Miniature recording devices.
No, not that romantic. This is the world of beer, actually, and we'll have all the details and more of your calls coming up in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
She's so much like a woman. She's a bluesmobile. Talking about the bluesmobile. Just keep rolling.
And even though Javanese hot coal walkers wince in pain whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo explains the importance of creating a safe space for therapy.
I can't tell you how many times I've had clients that say that expression, like, I've never told that to anybody. That's when I know I've made some kind of momentous move with this person. They feel safe enough to expose that part of themselves, and doing that together with somebody else can be very powerful.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Edward Jones. Lately, it's been hard to think about the future, but thinking about the future is human nature. At Edward Jones, their 19,000 financial advisors work to provide you with the individualized answers and attention you need right now. They listen to understand what's important to you, then work with you to create a personalized investment strategy, all so you can get back to drafting dreams and building your future. Edward Jones, it's time for investing to feel individual. Visit edwardjones.com.
What happens after a police officer shoots someone who's unarmed? For decades in California, internal affairs investigations, how the police themselves, were secret. Until now. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, I don't know who sent this in because the author listed himself or herself as anonymous donor. Didn't want his or her name associated with our show in any way, shape, or form, I guess.
Well, that narrows it down to 1 of 4.5 million, 7 million, 12 million people.
Well, here it is. You ready?
Yeah, yeah. I'm dying to remember it.
It's a secret code. Remember espionage? No.
No, I don't know.
There's an unusual little bar, and in this bar, you can get a free beer if you know the secret code.
I remember.
And the secret code works like this. You sit down at the bar, and the bartender tells you a number, and you tell him another number. If it's right, you get a free beer. For example, a customer goes up to the bar, and the bartender says 6. The customer says 3. gets his free beer.
Yeah.
A second customer goes to the bar, and the bartender says 12. The customer says 6. And he gets his free beer.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good, huh? You're going to figure it out? A third customer sits at the bar, and the bartender says 14. The customer says 7, right? No. Customer says 8. And nope. He gets a free beer.
He does, with 8.
With 8. You're sitting there, and the bartender turns to you and says, 22. You say, I have to go to the bathroom anyway. What do you say if you want a free beer?
You say, what's the secret code?
Well, you would think, you know, you were cruising right along until you said 14 and 8.
Yeah.
And 22, if you were the customer and said 9, you'd get a free beer. That's how many letters there are.
In 22. In 22. 6, 3, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 12, 6, 14, 8.
Oh, geez.
Cute, huh? Do we have a winner?
You bet we do. The winner this week is Adam Leff from Lewiston, Maine, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. Adam is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division and our website, cartalk.com. With that gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD/drink coaster, Car Talk Cartoons, America's Best Disrespectful Car Songs. Wow.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I guess I'd have to call it automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. So stay tuned for that. It may not be automotive. I may change my mind.
In the meantime,
if you'd like to call us about anything, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom. How you doing?
Tom!
Where are you from, Tom?
Trenton, New Jersey.
Trenton. You know, I was in Trenton just the other day.
No kidding.
And I was standing on the Amtrak platform.
Okay.
And I struck up a conversation with a guy next to me.
Yeah, it was the basis of it was this. Got any spare change?
That would be the kind of conversation you'd have at the Trenton Railroad Station.
But he said, after we started talking, he said, I used to live in Trenton, and I never come back here if I don't have to because it is the worst city in the country.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what the guy said. He said, I moved out of Trenton when I got mugged 5 days in a row.
Oh, God.
This poor guy came home from work 5 contiguous days, and every night on his way home from work, somebody beat him up and took his money.
You know, the Trent,
not his wallet, because on the second day, he didn't have a wallet anymore.
But he'd been to his undershirt. You know, the Trenton used to be the capital of the United States?
Yep.
Get out of here.
It was. It was for a short period of time.
A week. They mugged everyone and they left. All right, Tom, do you have a serious question? Come on, we're killing valuable time here.
And nobody will visit Trenton now for the next 20 years.
What's up, Tom?
Well, I drive a 1994 Honda Del Sol SI.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's got 102,000 miles on it. About 6 months ago, the car had been sitting in my driveway for about a week. My wife and I were away on vacation. And I got in the car to start the car up to go to work, and nothing. Battery's dead. It's not doing a thing. So I called somebody to give me a jump.
Got it.
Started up fine. So I took the car to the dealer because I was concerned that maybe there was a problem with the battery. And sure enough, the battery was gone. It was dead. Mm. They replaced the battery, and I went on my merry way. About a week and a half later, I'm driving to work, and my engine light comes on.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the dealer, brought the car down.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need...
He said, your ECU is bad, which, yeah, exactly.
Bummer. That's the car's computer, for those that don't know.
And
the economic control unit. Yes.
Well, the price of the part is about $1,200.
Yeah.
And then with the labor, it's probably $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, these things don't go bad very often. He said, it's very rare.
That's true. I think we've replaced one Honda computer in forever.
Okay, right. And it started making me think, is it possible that getting the car jumped could have done something to the ECU, even though it didn't show up as bad until a week and a half later.
Well, see, the mind is a terrible thing.
I know, isn't it? Yeah.
More importantly, is it possible that you can blame this on somebody else and get your $1,500 bucks back?
People at work thought that's the reason why I was going to call. And it's really not.
It's just educational.
Right.
Well, certainly if you hook up the cables backward, you can cook everything on any car.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly you could cook the computer. Usually, if you do that, if you hook the cables up incorrectly, the car won't start and may even catch fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something will usually blow up.
So there's a definite sign that they did it wrong.
Usually.
Yeah. Although, I mean, you were there when who jumped the car? AAA or some garage?
Well, it was somebody that AAA, somebody that works with.
And you were there.
I was there. I watched them do it.
You watched them do it. You turned the key and the car started right up.
Right up.
And how soon after that did the light come on?
About a week and a half later.
I doubt they're related.
So you don't think they're related?
Almost impossible.
No. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this guy did anything wrong to your car. I think it was just bad luck.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and it runs all right now? Everything's good?
It runs fine. It's a great car. It's got 102,000 miles on it.
Yeah, don't go away anymore. One safer thing to do, by the way, for anyone who has a dead battery, is to actually disconnect the battery before you charge it.
Oh.
Okay.
It's not really jump starting.
So if your battery were dead, you could take the battery out or have the car towed to a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
They would disconnect the cables from the battery and just charge up the battery.
And then
when the battery is charged, they would disconnect the charger and hook your cables back up, and there's no risk whatsoever then. And that's the safest thing to do.
I see. Now, if you had somebody come and give you a jump, would they be able to do that as well?
No. Not unless you wanted
to... No, they couldn't, because the cables would have to be connected.
You wanted to spend the morning with them and have a latte and brioche.
Right.
You know. But those guys don't do latte and brioche.
No. So that's really the best way to do it.
That's the safest way.
Disconnect the battery and have it...
Yeah.
Have it charged.
But I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, what are the chances it could happen again?
That's the kind of thing I worry about.
See you. Yeah. Good luck, Tom.
Thanks a lot,
Don't
guys.
Worry. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
All righty.
Wait a minute. If the truck drivers don't do latte and brioche, what do they do? They do, like, Miller High Life at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I don't know what they do, but I don't think latte and brioche is included. 1-888
Is that some kind of a blanket derogatory statement about tow truck drivers?
No, it's just an observation. I mean anything by it. It's just a sweeping generalization.
Have we not alienated enough people?
Well, tow truck drivers, never mind.
You have
I don't
to screw around
don't,
tow truck drivers too.
Yeah, you know, you ought not to mess with them.
Don't mess with them. That's like the guy at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Funny man. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
I'm sorry. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Indianapolis.
Julie?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my Honda Accord.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, it seemed to attract other large objects.
Uh-huh.
And I've crunched it 3 times in about 15 months.
Yeah.
My question is, do the electrical problems ever go away? It's got like a lot of, I don't know, phantom ghost-type things under the hood.
Well, if you keep smashing it up, that will happen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What these accidents that have taken place, they've been front-end accidents?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
About total of about $11,000.
Ooh, what's your problem, Julie?
It's not my problem. I hate to blame it on Indianapolis drivers, but I just seem to attract. One of them was over a stupid duck, and the duck lived, and my front end didn't.
Look, just today, I was discussing with my sister, who has the same kind of problem as you. Every car she's ever owned, somehow... It attracts things, like just like you're claiming here.
Yeah, it's a magnet.
Yeah, except that a lot of times they're things like trees.
No.
And I keep explaining to her, the trees didn't jump out in front of you. The trees are where they are. And she denies. She thinks the trees actually move around and follow her.
But you are Calamity Julie. Calamities follow you around.
I think so.
All right, so we'll accept that. But the electrical problems that you're having may, in fact, be directly related to the accidents. Oftentimes, car gets smashed up. The body gets fixed and it gets painted and gets to look like new, except usually in an accident, pieces of metal get bent and twisted and whatever, and wires get stretched and sometimes disconnected, but not necessarily immediately.
Exactly. So
or wires get pinched between two pieces of metal, and then over a period of time, even though that pinch is removed, the wires whose insulation got worn away by the collision begin to short out and fuses blow, et cetera, et cetera.
And these things are really, really hard to find.
Exactly. I've gone through that. As a matter of fact, after the first accident, I had these weird symptoms, and the car would lose complete power while I was driving.
Yeah.
No power brakes, no steering, no nothing. And they searched for about $800 worth and found it, and it cost $12 to fix it.
Well, if you have this proclivity to do this with cars...
I hope it's over.
Well, it may not be. It's probably part of your basic nature. So I would recommend that you get rid of the Accord now while you still can and go for a much larger vehicle, preferably like 5 or 6 years old. That way, when you have these little confrontations, so to speak, you're less likely to do damage to it because you'll destroy the car that you hit.
I got it. So this one's through. These things are just going to keep popping up.
Oh, they could. I mean, it's purely random. This is what your basic Brownian motion.
No, no, no. Bad luck comes in threes. Everyone knows that. It's in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
No. It does not. Because you never know which set of three you're working on. It comes in threes or multiples of three.
Well, if she has a four, then she knows she's working on two multiples and get rid of it. But until the fourth accident occurs, keep it.
Okay.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Half Moon Bay, California.
Mark with a K, half?
No, Mark with a C.
Okay.
It used to be Maurice, but I dropped three vowels for Eastern European solidarity.
Just to even things out.
Well, you know,
that's good.
We all have way too many vowels in our names, especially us. You know, that's humanitarian of you, man. I think more people should do it.
So should we call you Mars?
So, yeah, call me what you want.
So Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, it's just south of San Francisco.
It's very nice there, I remember.
Oh, it is. It's very nice. It's cool. You get good artichokes and Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
I hate Brussels sprouts. Anyway, Mark.
What's up?
What's going on?
I was taking a long trip up to Central Valley, Highway 5, and I was checking my mileage with the computer on the dashboard. And I stopped for gas, and I noticed my mileage went up from 24 to 29 miles to a gallon.
Cool.
And at first I thought, hey, good gas. But then I noticed that the gas cap was off.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm wondering how the computers work. How accurate are they? They have to measure exactly how much gas is going in there to make the calculation.
No, they don't do any of that. It's done...
With vacuum.
Well, some of it is done with engine vacuum, but a lot of it is done using the available inputs that the engine and transmission have. And it can tell, for example, from the position of the throttle sensor, how hard you're accelerating. It can tell from the speed sensor what your rate of change of speed is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which they couldn't do with just a speedometer cable. So they have some kind of an algorithm that determines. You know, it says when all these inputs say this, then
the instantaneous
mileage should be 11 miles to the gallon.
But it's inaccurate.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Well, I mean, it's not as accurate as actually measuring the miles and dividing by the gallons.
Well, I'll tell you a little story that'll give you some insight into how accurate this thing
Go
is.
Go for it.
So we get cars to test drive. And we had a Lincoln Town car that Doug Berman was driving. And he drove it around long enough so that the low fuel warning system kicked in. This is when, like, the missiles come out of the silos and the whole thing. So he says, oh, you want to swap cars? I was driving, you know, something like a Hyundai, and I couldn't imagine why he'd give up a Lincoln Town car until I got in there and I saw the thing flashing 0 miles to empty. And I said, 0 miles to empty. I wonder how long this son of a gun drove this thing around to get it down to 0 miles to empty.
Because, of course, the light had obviously been on for days. Because the light comes on when you've got like 40 or 50 miles.
Yeah, and it showed 40 miles to empty, 35 miles to empty. He just kept going around the block, around and around.
So I wonder if I can get it to read zero.
And he did.
And I wonder if I can give it to Ramey before it runs out of gas.
And he did.
Did you make it to the station?
No, I didn't.
All right.
So, I mean, it does read, you know, I mean, again, it might have been just luck, and this is the only chance we've had. I haven't had a chance to reciprocate, unfortunately, but I've tried many
times. Don't worry, I have people in the garage right now taking care of that.
but you know, obviously the thing works by reading the amount of gas that's in the tank and doing some kind of a calculation and figuring out, you know, what you have left in there and what your mileage is to empty. But having the gas cap off would have no effect whatsoever.
No.
Well, it changed the reading on the, because I put the gas cap back on, dropped back down to 24.
Oh, it may have, you know what it may have done? It may have changed the reading of the gauge. Because the tank is pressurized.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have made any difference.
It shouldn't have made a difference right away.
So you don't think we're going to solve the fuel import crisis by driving around with our caps off, though?
Well, I don't wear a hat. I don't wear a hat anymore myself. But I don't think so.
and Mars?
Yeah.
The entire Eastern European, all the Eastern European nations, thank you for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. Hey, goodbye.
Look, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
A break? Now? Aren't we, like, almost finished?
We've been finished for years, but we still have to take a break.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
I got 40 miles of blacktop squarely in my sights. I got Benetton metal, got my baby by my side. It's bigger than the Mercury, sexier than a Ford. Room in the back for you, me, and that pretty little friend of yours. Well, keep an open mind, babe, when I'm screaming around the bends. May feel like 45, but it's at least 110. They don't build them quite like this anymore. No rules for guys like me were made by dads like yours.
And even though dogs bury their masters' radios in their backyards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Womply. Womply is committed to helping self-employed workers and small businesses get their PPP loans. They've helped over 100,000 small businesses. Even if you're a freelancer or gig worker, you may qualify. Womply makes the process easy. Start your application at womply.com/NPR and they'll route it to an approved lender. Apply for free today at womply.com/NPR and see if you qualify.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah, make it good, man.
Oh. You had to spoil it. This came from someone named Rob, who used to work for Applied Logic, because that was his email address, but I'm sure he got...
No, he's fired by now.
For unauthorized use of the company time, email and
he's
all that.
Gone.
Yeah. Anyway, here it goes. My wife owns a 92 Olds Achieva with a Quad 4 5-speed manual transmission and all that other stuff, power everything. One morning, she's heading out to work, and she comes back into the house and says, "My car won't start." I go out and I listen as she tries to start the car. She turns the key. Zippo. Not even a click. Being in a hurry, she takes my car. So I put the battery charger on her car. And later in the day, I go out and I start it right up. I drive it around a bit to charge the battery. Everything's fine. The next day, the exact same thing happens. Right? She turns the key. Zippo.
Yeah.
I visit a website and I find instructions for determining if there's a drain on the battery and all that. I do the test. I find out there's no drain. So what would any half-intelligent person do? Goes out and buys a new battery.
Sure.
So the new battery's installed. The next morning, same problem.
With the brand new battery.
So we push the car out and I jumped it from my car. I get in it, I turn the key, and I drive her car to the dealership and she follows in my car. They called back later to report that they couldn't find a darn thing wrong with it, but we're charging us $180 nevertheless.
Tammy.
We told them, let it sit there overnight and try it in the morning. They called the next morning and said what? Nope.
Started up
like a shot.
Oh.
So we go to the dealer.
Geographic.
My wife gets in with her keys, turns the key, won't start. And we're standing there scratching our heads.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe it.
I don't. Brilliant, though.
And at which point I ask her, did you just buy something for your car?
Yeah. And she says, yes.
Yes, I did. The question is, what did she buy and why, in addition to the battery?
Yeah.
What did she buy that was preventing it from starting? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard.
Man.
Or, better still, but only slightly better still, a mahogany humidor filled with hand-rolled Cuban cigars.
Mahogany.
Monterey yeah. Excaliburs, to be precise.
Yeah, yeah.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our very fair city.
Ma 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, yes. Who's this?
This is Candace.
Candace.
Yes. I'm calling from Endwell, New York.
Endlow?
Endwell.
Oh, I thought it was underwear. Endwell.
All's well that ends well? Endwell, New York.
Yeah, it's near Binghamton.
Near Binghamton.
Yeah, now do you know where it is?
Of course.
So what's on your mind, Candace?
Okay, well, this is really weird. Okay, my boyfriend, he's just learning how to drive standard, mm-hmm. and his dad is teaching him to put it in neutral when he's downshifting, when he comes to a stop sign, instead of downshifting. And my dad has always taught me to downshift, and so it's kind of like a little war between my dad and his dad on who's right.
Yeah, so if you're coming to the stop sign,
yeah.
your father has told you, if you're in third gear, throw it in second gear, and
then,
slow down.
Yeah.
Let the clutch out.
Yes.
Slow down that way.
Yeah. Let the engine slow you down.
And then what?
Then throw it in neutral. Is that, I mean, when you finally stop, do you throw it in neutral?
No.
You don't really stop. You just do a Texas rolling stop?
Yeah, I kind of put it in the first
and just keep right on going.
And just wait for the light to turn
green. Oh, so your last shift, you downshift in the first, and instead of letting the clutch out, what you do is you just sit there in first with your foot on the brake, raring to go as soon as the light turns green.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to your boyfriend and his father, and
that
school of thought is you're coming to a stop sign. When you get to the stop sign, throw it in neutral. Don't downshift. Whatever gear you happen to be in, slow down with your foot on the brake, throw it in neutral, and leave it in neutral with your foot off the clutch. And when the light changes, if it's a light, then shift it into first and go. Have we represented these two positions correctly?
Yeah, but
fairly?
Yes, you have. But they also have these other little things where my dad says, if you're in neutral, you don't have any control over the car. So if a cat goes in front of you, it'll be harder for you to stop or something. And then my boyfriend's dad also says that when it's in neutral, you save on gas.
Uh-huh. So we have cats on the one hand.
No, there's the safety issue on one
hand. Cats versus gas.
Uh-huh.
Or safety versus cheapness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Let me
get that. I wanted to know who was right.
Well, I'm not sure we've represented the two sides correctly then, because is your boyfriend coasting in neutral to the stop?
Yes.
From how long a distance?
I have no idea. It's just whenever he starts slowing down. Like, he'll be at the top of a hill, and then he'll just put it in neutral instead of downshifting.
Okay.
Oh, that's a different situation.
So how long have you been going with this boyfriend?
A little over 2 years.
2 years,
Two
huh?
years. How old are you, Candace?
I'm 19.
You're 19, and he's about the same, huh?
He's about a year younger.
Oh, a younger man.
Yeah.
You little devil, you. Yeah, speaking of personal relationships, every once in a while, I told you the other day, I walked into the house, and my wife is on the phone talking to, unfortunately, her sister. And my wife is saying, he said what? And evidently her sister had heard one of those shows where Jennifer warned me that I would be sleeping in the garage. And you were right. And it was fun with her raccoons.
Well,
thanks for calling.
You'll notice I never make fun of my wife.
No, you don't.
No, because I realize that
yeah.
It's
dangerous.
Well, my wife does most of the cooking, and you should never,
never mess
with anyone who's preparing your food.
That's true.
Right. Anyway, you're both wrong.
We are?
Yeah, how about them apples?
Oh.
Yeah.
You're both wrong, but if your boyfriend is coasting down hills, he's more wrong than you.
More wronger.
More wronger than you, even. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't downshift. I'll tell you the right way to do it. Rather than explain how both of you are wrong, I'll just explain the right way to do it.
Okay.
So that you'll know how to do it.
This is the right way, according to my brother.
So that still might be wrong?
That could be wrong, too. Well, that remains to be seen.
Okay, I'll describe a scenario. You're driving along a city street at 30 miles an hour, and up ahead you see that the light is red, and you're in third gear.
Mm-hmm.
You should remain in third gear as long as possible, applying pressure to the brake pedal to slow you down. Staying in third.
Okay.
At some point, as you get closer to the stoplight, obviously, you're going to realize that third gear is the wrong gear to be in, and the car will let you know that because it may even start to buck a little bit. At which point, you should step on the clutch and downshift into second, but don't let your foot off the clutch.
Okay.
You're in second gear in the event that you have to do something like run over a cat, avoid running over a cat, and you're ready to spring into action. And if need be, you can then coast to the stop with your foot on the clutch. You're in second gear. You'll coast to the stop, at which point you will shift it with your foot still on the clutch into neutral, take your foot off the clutch, sit at the light, and wait for it to turn green in neutral. When it turns green, you step in the clutch, you shift into first, and you go. Pretty good, huh, Tommy?
That's pretty good. I'll buy that.
Okay.
What about the part with the rope and the rock? That's how you do it in my car.
We'll discuss that some other time.
Okay, and the door. You have to open the door to do this.
So have your but the dangers, we should mention that you should not coast.
Okay.
It's dangerous
to
coast.
Yeah, I didn't think that was right.
You sure don't want to coast down a hill.
Yeah, you should never coast more than, say, 5 miles an hour. Yeah. I think that would be the cutoff point for me. But you should always be in gear.
The fact that, what's your boyfriend's name?
Brandon.
Brandon. The fact that Brandon's father has taught him to do it this way means that Brandon's father is a cheapskate of the first order. I mean, this guy is thinking about, if you practiced what Brandon preaches, over a lifetime of driving, maybe 70 years of driving, you might save a quarter in gas. That's assuming that as we go out in time, gasoline will go up to like $50 a gallon.
Well, it's adjusted for inflation.
It's adjusted for, you might save 25 cents over a lifetime. Now, do you want to get involved with a guy who might have inherited the genes that are making his father do this?
Well, I bet you if it, Brandon, he probably did inherit the genes from his grandfather.
Yeah.
No, is Brandon, you can tell, you've gone out with this guy for 2 years. Is he a cheapskate?
He's not, but his dad is.
You may not realize that no matter what, we all turn into our parents sooner or later.
No.
So in your dotage, this guy is going to have you eating dog food. Hey, good luck, Candace.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See you. Boy, that's a wonderful thought.
Well, it's the truth.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2.
My mother-in-law, on the other hand, is the sweetest, most wonderful woman you could ever meet. She paid me to say this. And my wife, my wife is slowly turning into that. I'm done for.
You think that?
I don't have a light in the garage.
You know, should we screen it in for you? The bugs must be rough in the summer, huh? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Howard. I'm calling from Randolph, Mass.
Hey, I know where that is.
You do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe since you answered the first question right, maybe you can answer a couple more for me about tires.
Yeah, we're on a roll here, Hal.
Indeed,
what's up?
Indeed. I recently had flats on two separate tires on my two Toyotas. On the right rear tire, I got objects in the sidewall. And as a result of having to scrap two tires, I had a couple of questions for you about tires.
Yeah.
First of all, is it really possible for radials or any tire to pick up nails and pins and other objects so easily in the sidewall?
On both of these two vehicles,
right,
on separate occasions, separated by how many days?
Oh, 3-4 days.
You found a sharp object protruding from the sidewall.
Exactly. I found a nail in one. I didn't find the nail. I mean, I had a flat, and I took it into to be repaired.
Yeah.
And they found the nail. And on the second one, I found one of those push pins that people use on bulletin boards.
Oh.
Push pin? That didn't blow out any tire. It must have been a hell of a bulletin board.
Maybe somebody was trying to pin a note on my tire having to do with my hand signal.
Yeah, the note said, I think you have a flat. And they pinned it right to the tire. Okay,
yeah.
that's your first question.
Right. Second
question is, why don't any of your neighbors like you?
No, that I know why.
Oh, okay, we know about that.
The second question is, to what extent can you substitute with different with tires of different sizes? I mean,
sizes?
Yeah, well, for example, I think this car takes like 155 /70 SR13s, and I had mounted and ready to go a 165 SR13.
Well, you can put that on. The only danger with mixing that first number indicates the width of the tire in millimeters.
Okay.
So the bigger the number, the wider the tire is. Not the bigger in diameter, but the bigger its footprint.
Okay.
And the obvious danger is if you have a big footprint on one side and a little one on the other side, the thing's going to behave peculiarly when you're doing things like going around turns, when you're trying to stop quickly.
Right.
I just did this for a couple of days, but it got me wondering if in fact, because I do, in fact, have two brand-new 165-13s in the garage.
Uh-huh.
I would never mix them on one axle.
Right.
But you can certainly put pairs of like kind.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's okay, and that's it.
Okay, so
what about the first question?
I forgot. Well, what was the first question?
The first question was why don't his neighbors like him?
No, the first question is why can these tires really pick up so much junk on the side?
Oh yes.
No. not two different cars in the same driveway within 3 days
of each
other.
Didn't happen in his driveway.
It did too.
No, it did not.
That's where I noticed it.
You noticed? Of course you noticed it. You know why?
Why?
That's where you park.
But what do you do for a living?
I'm a consultant.
You're a consultant. What kind?
Do I have to say?
Well, no, but I mean, I'll explain in statistical terms what's going on here.
I'll ask the more important
and
question.
I know you'll understand this. Okay. I just did a little calculation using Bayes' theorem.
Okay.
You're familiar with Bayes' theorem.
Certainly.
The probability of both of these tires having something sticking out of the side of them, knowing the base rate of this, is 0.00016.
Oh, dear.
Therefore, the conclusion is
yes.
One of your neighbors is out to get you.
Do you have a dog, Howard?
No, but we do have a neighbor that everybody's a little bit suspicious of.
No, well, look at your tires every day, because when you get the third one, then you'll know that it has nothing to do with chance.
Not to dispute my older,
the Reverend
wiser,
Thomas Bayes doesn't
the
lie.
Older, wiser brother.
You left out handsomer, bon vivant.
With good reason.
Devil may care.
You drive over the same roads every day, which takes this probability and increases it by about 1,000 times, because you did the same. You drove over the same spot 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, with someone who had thrown some junk in the road, like nails or screws.
Nails and pushpins. Come, Howard, tell them that you don't use these two cars on the same route.
Oh, I do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I know.
Howard, get
Howard,
off the phone.
See you later.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Right. Well, it's happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from his must-see conquest at the Muscle Shoals, Muscle Beach, Muscles Marinara Mumbo is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Overa. Marge and Overa.
Our customer care
representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. The driver of our moving van is Carrie DeSofa. Our mortgage consultant is Nora Lender B. Our director of Three Stooges Studies is Lee Iapoca. Our reluctant film editor is Francis Ford Cupholder. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, as always, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the Mark Wahlberg wannabe, strutting around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click & Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother. Someone told us that we're doing that wrong. It should be don't drive as my brother.
Oh, really?
That could be, but we're not going to do it.
No, too late for that now. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at CarTalk.com. Also this week at CarTalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the universe has second thoughts about expanding whenever we say it, this is NPR.